Chapter 24, How Sir Tristram Demanded La Beale Isoud for King Mark, and How Sir Tristram and Isoud Drank the Love Drink. Then upon a day King Agwisance asked Sir Tristram why he asked not his boon, and for whatsoever he had promised him, he should have it without fail. Sir, said Sir Tristram, now it is time. This is all that I will desire, that ye will give me La Beale Isoud, your daughter, not for myself, but for mine uncle, King Mark, that shall have her to wife, for so I have promised him. Alas, said the king, I had liever than all the land that I have, ye would wed her yourself. Sir, and I did, then I were shamed forever in this world, and false of my promise. Therefore, said Sir Tristram, I pray ye hold your promise that ye promised me, for this is my desire, that ye will give me La Beale Isoud to go with me unto Cornwall for to be wedded to King Mark, mine uncle. As for that, said King Agwisance, ye shall have her with you to do with her what it pleases you. That is for to say, if that ye list to wed her yourself, that is me levest. And if ye will give her unto King Mark, your uncle, that is in your choice. So to make short conclusion, La Beale Isoud was made ready to go with Sir Tristram, and Dame Bragwaine went with her, for her chief gentlewoman, with many other. Then the queen, Isoud's mother, gave to her and to Dame Bragwaine, her daughter's gentlewoman, and on to Gouvernail, a drink. Footnote 1. And charged them that what day King Mark should wed, that same day they should give him that drink, so that King Mark should drink to La Beale Isoud. And then, said the queen, I undertake either shall love other the days of their life. And so this drink was given unto Dame Bragwaine and unto Gouvernail. And then anon Sir Tristram took the sea and La Beale Isoud. And when they were in their cabin, it happened so that they were thirsty, and they saw a little flacket meaning flask, of gold stand by them, and it seemed by the color and the taste that it was noble wine. Then Sir Tristram took the flacket in his hand and said, Madam Isoud, here is the best drink that ever ye drank, that Dame Bragwaine, your maiden, and Gouvernail, my servant, have kept for themselves. Then they laughed and made good cheer, and either drank to other freely, and they thought, never drink that they ever drank to other was so sweet nor so good. Page 346. But by that their drink was in their bodies, they loved either other so well that never their love departed for weal neither for woe. And thus it happened the love first betwixt Sir Tristram and La Beale Isoud, the which love never departed the days of their life. So then they sailed, till by fortune they came nigh a castle, that hight Pluer, and thereby arrived for to repose them, weening to them to have had good harbor. But anon, as Sir Tristram was within the castle, they were taken prisoners. For the custom of the castle was such, who that rode by that castle and brought any lady, he must needs fight with the lord, that high Brunor. And if it were so that Brunor won the field, then should the knight stranger and his lady be put to death, what that ever they were. And if it were so that the strange knight won the field, Sir Brunor, then should he die, and his lady both. This custom was used many winters, for it was called the Castle Pluer, that is to say, the Weeping Castle.
Chapter 25. How Sir Tristram and Isoud were in prison, and how he fought for her beauty and smote off another lady's head. Thus, as Sir Tristram and La Beale Isoud were in prison, it happened a knight and a lady came unto them where they were to cheer them. I have marvel, said Tristram, unto the knight and the lady, what is the cause the lord of this castle holdeth us in prison? It was never the custom of no place of worship that ever I came in, when a knight and a lady asked harbor, and they to receive them, and after to destroy them that be his guests. Sir, said the knight, this is the old custom of this castle, that when a knight cometh here he must needs fight with our lord, and he that is the weaker must lose his head. Page 347. And when that is done, if his lady that he bringeth be fouler than our lord's wife, she must lose her head, and if she be fairer proved than is our lady, then shall the lady of this castle lose her head. So God help me, said Sir Tristram, this is a foul custom and a shameful. But one advantage have I, said Sir Tristram, I have a lady is fair enough, fairer saw I never in all my life days, and I doubt not for lack of beauty she shall not lose her head, and rather that I should lose my head, I will fight for it on a fair field. Wherefore, Sir Knight, I pray you tell your lord that I will be ready as to morn with my lady and myself to do battle. If it be so, I may have my horse and mine armor. Sir, said that knight, I undertake that you your desire shall be sped right well. And then he said, take your rest, and look that ye be up betimes, and make ye ready and your lady, for ye shall want no thing that you behoveth. And, reader's note, behoveth here means is necessary. Return to text. And therewith he departed, and on the morn betimes that same knight came to Sir Tristram, and fetched him out and his lady, and brought him his horse and armor that was his own, and bade him make ready to the field, for all the estates and commons of that lordship were there ready to behold the battle and judgment. Then came Sir Brunor, the lord of that castle, with his lady in his hand, muffled, and asked Sir Tristram where was his lady. For an thy lady be fairer than mine, with thy sword smite off my lady's head, and if my lady be fairer than thine, [footnote 1], with my sword I must strike off her head. And if I may win thee, yet shall thy lady be mine, and thou shalt lose thy head. Sir, said Tristram, this is a foul custom and horrible, and rather than my lady should lose her head, yet I have liever lose my head. Nay, nay, said Sir Brunor, the ladies shall be first showed together, and the one shall have her judgment. Nay, I will not so, said Sir Tristram, for here is none that will give righteous judgment. Page 348. But I doubt not, said Sir Tristram, my lady is fairer than thine, and that will I prove and make good with my hand. And whomsoever he be that will say the contrary, I will prove it on his head. And therewith Sir Tristram showed La Belle Isoud, and turned her thrice about with his naked sword in his hand. And when Sir Brunor saw that, he did the same wise turn his lady. But when Sir Brunor beheld La Belle Isoud, he thought he saw never a fairer lady, and then he dread his lady's head should be off. And so all the people that were there present gave judgment that La Belle Isoud was the fairer lady and the better maid. How now, said Sir Tristram, meseemeth it were a pity that my lady should lose her head, but because thou and she of long time have used this wicked custom, and by you both have many good knights and ladies been destroyed, for that cause it were no loss to destroy you both. So God me help, said Sir Brunor, for to say the sooth, thy lady is fairer than mine, and that me sore repenteth. And so I hear the people privily say, for of all women I saw none so fair, and therefore, and thou wilt slay my lady, I doubt not but I shall slay thee and have thy lady. Thou shalt win her, said Sir Tristram, as dear as ever knight won lady, and because of thine own judgment, as thou wouldst have done to my lady if that she had been fouler, and because of the evil custom, give me thy lady, said Sir Tristram. And therewithal Sir Tristram strode unto him, and took his lady from him, and with an awk stroke he smote off her head clean. Well, knight, said Sir Brunor, now hast thou done me a despite. Page 349. Chapter 26. How Sir Tristram fought with Sir Brunor, and at the last smote off his head. Now take thine horse, sithen I am ladyless, and I will win thy lady and I may. Then they took their horses and came together as it had been the thunder. And Sir Tristram smote Sir Brewnor clean from his horse, and lightly he rose up. And as Sir Tristram came again by him, he thrust his horse throughout both the shoulders, that his horse hurled here and there and fell dead to the ground. And ever Sir Brewnor ran after to have slain Sir Tristram, but Sir Tristram was light and nimble, and voided his horse lightly. And or ever Sir Tristram might dress his shield and his sword, the other gave him 3 or 4 sad strokes. Then they rashed together like 2 boars, tracing and traversing mightily and wisely as 2 noble knights. For this Sir Brewnor was a proved knight, and had been, or then, the death of many good knights, that it was a pity that he had so long endured. Thus they fought, hurling here and there nigh 2 hours, and either were wounded sore. Then at the last Sir Brewnor rushed upon Sir Tristram, and took him in his arms, for he trusted much in his strength. Then was Sir Tristram called the strongest and the highest knight of the world, for he was called bigger than Sir Launcelot, but Sir Launcelot was better-breathed. So anon Sir Tristram thrust Sir Brewnor down grovelling, and then he unlaced his helm and struck off his head. And then all they that longed to the castle came to him, and did him homage and fealty, praying him that he would abide there still a little while to fordo that foul custom. Sir Tristram granted thereto. The meanwhile one of the knights of the castle rode unto Sir Galahad, the haut prince, the which was Sir Brewnor's son, which was a noble knight, and told him what misadventure his father had and his mother. Page 350. Chapter 27. How Sir Galahad fought with Sir Tristram, and how Sir Tristram yielded him and promised to fellowship with Launcelot. Then came Sir Galahad, and the king with 100 knights with him, and this Sir Galahad proffered to fight with Sir Tristram hand for hand, and so they made them ready to go unto battle on horseback with great courage. Then Sir Galahad and Sir Tristram met together so hard that either bare other down, horse and all, to the earth. And then they avoided their horses as noble knights, and dressed their shields, and drew their swords with ire and rancor, and they lashed together many sad strokes, and one while striking, another while foining, tracing and traversing as noble knights. Thus they fought long, near half a day, and either were sore wounded. At the last Sir Tristram waxed light and big, and doubled his strokes, and drove Sir Galahad aback, on to the one side and on the other, so that he was like to have been slain. With that came the king with 100 knights, and all that fellowship went fiercely upon Sir Tristram. When Sir Tristram saw them coming upon him, then he wist well he might not endure. Then, as a wise knight of war, he said to Sir Galahad the haut prince, "Sir, ye show to me no knighthood, for to suffer all your men to have ado with me all at once, and as meseemeth ye be a noble knight of your hands, it is a great shame to you." "So God me help," said Sir Galahad, "there is none other way but thou must yield thee to me, or other else to die," said Sir Galahad to Sir Tristram. "I will rather yield me to you than die, for that is more for the might of your men than of your hands." And therewithal Sir Tristram took his own sword by the point, and put the pommel in the hand of Sir Galahad. Therewith came the king with 100 knights, and hard began to assail Sir Tristram. Page 351. "Let be," said Sir Galahad, "be ye not so hardly to touch him, for I have given this knight his life." "That is your shame," said the king with 100 knights. "Hath he not slain your father and your mother?" "As for that," said Sir Galahad, "I may not wit him greatly, for my father had him in prison and enforced him to do battle with him, and my father had such a custom that was a shameful custom, that what knight came there to ask harbor, his lady must needs die but if she were fairer than my mother. And if my father overcame that knight, he must needs die. This was a shameful custom and usage, a knight for his harbor asking to have such harborage. and for this custom I would never draw about him. So God me help.